Welcome to Trail Mix, where Mary and Jody sort through life's fruits, sweets, and nuts. Mary Tomlinson and Jody Dreyer, who met when their paths crossed as Disney executives, are now advisors, speakers, and authors, and I'm excited to say podcasters. They can't wait to share life stories and experiences, insightful and practical takeaways, encouragement, and you can always count on full-out honesty and lots of laughs along the way. Ready for some Trail Mix? Let's mix it up with Mary and Jody.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Woohoo!
Well, of course, Mary, when we thought about it, we said, it's the 100th birthday of the Walt Disney Company. There's not a chance we could let that go by, right?
That's right.
We'd get arrested. We'd go to Disney jail if we didn't talk about that. But before we jump in to like our personal stories, I thought, okay, I don't know if you have any guesses, but I thought I would go through the company highlights that when people talk about the Walt Disney Company being 100 years old, if you wanted to pick like 10 or 12 highlights, what would you pick? So tell me if there's a couple of those that you think should be on the list, and then I'll go through the list.
Okay. Well, I would think the theme parks worldwide, the movie successes, the Disney song successes, gazillion amount of people that go through the parks.
right. Well, that's true. Just think of all the people that are consumers. So parks, movies, songs. I mean, honestly, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. But okay, so you were good on all of those, but I'll go through the ones that make the actual highlight reel.
Okay.
So if you were doing, so 1923, it was the original Disney Brothers cartoon studio, and they made a contract to produce 12 episodes of the Alice comedies. So it was October of 1923. That's the where we celebrate 100 years. That's where we get the 100 years. So the first highlight, 1928, 5 years later, which people think is the start of the company, which is not true, is when Mickey was born. So that was when Steamboat Willie first animated with sound, also Minnie Mouse, you know, was born at that time too. So that was 1928. Then 1937, which is another huge milestone, that was when Snow White came out. So the first full-length animated film, which was huge, of course. 1954, and this one I always forget about, Disney entered the TV business. Because we think of so much Disney on television, but that really didn't start, you know, that early with, they weren't one of the originals on television. And they started on TV the year before Disneyland opened. And it was a way that Walt came up with. He was such a good promotions guy. And he thought, well, we've got to let people know about Disneyland. So the original TV show was called Walt Disney's Disneyland. And it was basically a huge kind of infomercial talking all about Disneyland because nobody had ever really heard of, you know, they had fairs and stuff, but they didn't know a theme park. Like what, you know, what is that?
Yeah.
So, and then 1955, Disneyland opened in California. So that was the first theme park. And then interesting, what made the list was in 1964, and it ran through 65, the first human audio animatronic debuted. It was Small World and Mr. Lincoln, which came from the Hall of Presidents at the New York World's Fair.
World's Fair.
So I always forget about that one. And then 1971, Walt Disney World opened. And that really they talk about because it was the first Disney's entry, first entry into the resort business. So that concept of your opening a full resort. And then you mentioned this, 1983, Tokyo Disneyland opened. So the first park outside the United States. And that was a joint venture. You know, Disney didn't own that. And then Disney Channel also launched in 1983. And then in 1992, Beauty and the Beast was the first animated movie nominated for an Oscar. And then in 1994, it was Disney's Beauty and the Beast opened on Broadway. So it was the first, you know, entry into Broadway. 1995, Toy Story was the first full-length computer-generated film. And then 1998, the cruise line launched. So those were kind of like when someone does the highlight reel, that's what. So it was interesting to me because I was thinking, well, there were a couple missing. Like you said, music is such a huge part of what you think of Disney. Now, there was music with a lot of these things that were happening.
Right.
But like that was sort of an interesting one. So, yeah.
That's, you know, it's amazing. A couple things come to mind as you went through the dates. I thought it was interesting because it didn't all happen at once. There were some good chunks of time in there, like 10 years here. And, you know, it just, and I think that's very encouraging because, you know, we all think, yeah, we should be doing fabulous things all the time. But there are times when, again, you're working on something and you could probably have the top 100 things of Disney if we included everything. But all of those were real firsts for the company. And it's funny because, you know, when you and I were there, we were a part of some of those discussions and decisions. Two of them I remember, and then you probably have more, is the whole cruise line discussions, long, ferocious debates around whether or not we should have gambling on the ship because everybody else had gambling. And that was a huge discussion at the time in the development of the cruise, and ultimately they decided no, and that obviously has not hurt them. And then the other one that was really interesting to me were the conversations around Tokyo Disneyland and the thought of, well, you know, Tokyo Disneyland wants Disney, so we should just transport everything Americana to Japan. And that wasn't terribly successful. I mean, whether it's foods or people's reactions on the shows and rides, there were differences that we needed to embrace. So it's fun to think back over some of those firsts that you talked about and remember the behind the scenes discussions. I mean, were there a couple for you that pop out?
Well, just to piggyback on the Tokyo, what was interesting was Tokyo actually was a mixed bag because they tried to do food, you know, they had rice with a lot of the menu items, and they wanted strict Americana food. So they wanted hot dogs. And so it was interesting what people want as far as familiarity, but then what they want different, or they think Disney food should be popcorn on Main Street. And but then they did adaptations of different popcorns that had flavors that they were more familiar with as well. But then we took a lot of those learnings and tried to translate it specifically when we were looking at Disneyland Paris, which then surprised everybody again because they said, well, they'll want a lot of Americana. And once again, you know, people weren't familiar with sit-down meals. Well, we like wine with sit-down meals and, you know, more leisurely, not counter service. And, you know, so it is back to know your audience, and it's not always a formula. And then the other thing that pops out to me is that so often we pigeonhole companies or people, you know, or businesses, okay, they should stay in this lane and do this one certain thing, which I have to say, I'm kind of a culprit. Like, why do we always have to be changing? And why does everyone that does one thing have to do something else? But with Disney, and the one that comes to mind that I was really involved in was the opening of Disney's debut on Broadway and Beauty and the Beast, and then ultimately Lion King and, you know, some of the other things that we've done. And people were crazy. I mean, they were just like, why does Disney have to come in and cheapen Broadway and ruin everything? And I mean, there were these terrible articles. The New York media just slaughtered Disney. Well, when you look back now, of course, always easier in hindsight, but there were so many groundbreaking, fabulous entertainment, Broadway things that took place because Disney got involved, and then it made it more accessible and brought in a new generation of, you know, people that went to Broadway that might not have done that. And same with the cruise line, I would make the case. You know, it wasn't as much family cruising as we know it now. And I think Disney really made a difference in that area. Yeah. So it is kind of interesting that, you know, our first impressions, and sometimes we jump the gun a little too much.
Right. Yeah. And it was fun hearing you talk about it as 1923, because, you know, we talked this summer that we had done the Disney Wish, and one of the dining locations, because you move around, is a restaurant called 1923. And it is specifically designed, there's kind of two sections of it. So instead of it being this big, wide, open dining hall, which is typical of cruise ships, and even one of the other, well, two of the other locations on the cruise were like this. This one is quieter. It's in two parts, but the two parts were to celebrate Walt and Roy and all of their accomplishments in just a beautiful way. The whole restaurant is almost sort of more black and whitish. It's just, it's very different, but beautifully done.
And transports you to a totally different place, immerses you in a whole different era.
You know, you're on the cruise and you see all the characters and Spider-Man and Marvel and all this jazz. And then you go into this place that it's not like a museum, but it certainly has the calmness and the beauty of just look around and really think about the accomplishments of the 100 years. So they're doing a nice job there celebrating the 100 years too. You know, we were talking about music. So I looked up, can you guess the highest grossing Disney song of all time?
I mean, right away, off the top of my head, one of my faves, I would say When You Wish Upon a Star, but I don't know.
Well, interesting. It's the We Don't Talk About Bruno from Encanto. It's the first to reach the Billboard Top Hot 100 highest grossing. And the second, you talked about Lion King, was Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
So, oh, not Circle of Life. No, I would have picked Circle of Life out of Lion King. Interesting.
So it's just, it's fun to just, again, see the 100 years and, you know, just all kinds of things. You talked about the movies in his first attempts at feature-length animation, so Snow White, and then also Pinocchio and Fantasia. That kind of brought up some great memories as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how many times I thought it would be a little Debbie Downer, so I didn't want to do the list of 100 years, the failures we remember. But, I mean, he went bankrupt so many times and lost the rights to things.
Yes.
So, again, to your point, you look at this highlight reel and you, like, go, woo, woo, you know, and you think, what? You know, everything he touched turned to gold.
Yes.
Well, the reality is there were a lot of dry periods in there and things that now people look back and they have quite a claim, you know, and it's like, oh, this was so successful. But at the time, it was a big bomb.
Yeah.
And so it just is fascinating. And I was doing a little generational research and I was asking, you know, just different ages of kids and adults. And okay, when you say Disney, what comes to mind? And it was fascinating what we're talking about. You know, some people would mention a song. Some people would mention, you know, a theme park visit or something in the theme parks, a favorite attraction. Some it was movies. But they were usually tied to obviously a personal experience mm-hmm. or a personal connection. Mm-hmm. And when I was thinking, one of the things I was going to ask you was, how do you think, or what do you attribute Disney's ongoing, you know, the fact that they're 100 years old and going right. strong, right. what do you attribute that to? But I kind of answered my own question, and it would be interesting if you have a little bit of a different thought on it, but I thought it's all about connections. Oh, because as I was asking yeah. people, it was their personal experience. Like yeah. for me, yeah. when somebody says Disney, just like right out of the, like, what makes your heart flutter? Mm-hmm. I think of being with my family. Uh-huh. And those first yeah. trips to Disney where I stood on Main Street, there I was with all these people that I loved, just being transported. And it makes me almost tear up, you right. know, and get choked up. And it was that captured moment in time. Or you talk a lot about the cruise and being with your grandkids and your mm-hmm. family and your, mm-hmm. so it's that connection. I can applaud things that the company has done. Right. But when I really think what it means, it is about, you know, the emotion and the connection and the experience that I've had with it when it's touched my life in some way. So I don't know if you have any thoughts about the success of 100 years, you know, how it's stayed relevant and so strong for so long.
Well, it was funny. We had a big family gathering a couple weeks ago, and one of our granddaughters was with us. And I was just kind of going around the house and getting prepared and dusting here and moving things here. And she says, "Mom, Mimi, you're just taking care of every little thing." And so I think about the main lessons that I took away from Disney from my 18 years. And one of them on the top of the list is attention to detail, that everything mm. speaks from thinking about, okay, what door are they going to come in? They're going to come in through the garage. So, okay, so I really want to kind of sweep it out there and just make that nice. And then where are they going to go here? And where are they? So to me, you know, when you think about the park itself and the attention to detail, that which we see in probably a lot of things that we just kind of pass by. And then you think about just the whole customer service or taking care of the guests. So for me, and I've taken that, you know, over the last 20 years away from my Disney experience, is that attention to detail. And then the whole customer experience of thinking about people as guests in your home. So that also had application for that family visit, that they were guests in my home and I wanted them to feel welcome and that I was prepared for them. And so those are some of the things that I take away. The third thing I took away, and I think about the Disney company, is their commitment to excellence, commitment to quality. Mm-hmm. Good enough is not good enough. And I work with, unfortunately, too many companies and sometimes nonprofits that it's like, oh, it's good enough. And that's not good mm-hmm. enough. So for me, when I think about the Disney company, those were real lessons learned from me from that 18 years that I carry to this day. And now I'm sharing it with her. And I told her, I said it, you know, I worked at Disney for a long time and attention to detail was really important. And that's why Mimi is doing these things around the house, because I want things to be just right. So when you think about your career at Disney, were there some things that you've taken away?
Well, it's interesting because we started a little bit of the conversation talking about the staying in your lane and, you know, businesses that always have to do the next thing and try the next thing. And I think it's that interesting space of knowing who you are, yet the courage and imagination and the to always dream and explore and discover and push yourself, like they've continued to change mm-hmm. and change is hard mm-hmm. and change can sometimes ruin a company as well. Mm-hmm. So it's how do you not lose sight of who you are, of the core, of the integrity. And I think it goes back to then the things you're talking about, excellence, and which is different than perfection, but excellence and quality, and but then being willing to try and fail. Mm-hmm. You know, Walt didn't sit around going, oh, okay, Disneyland opened. Great, done. Mm-hmm. You know, there was like Disneyland has changed through the years because Disneyland is still open, but it looks very different than it did in 1955, right. But yet still has the same core. So mm-hmm. That's one that I think about a lot, that I think I learned a lot from Disney. But I also see some of the missteps that Disney has made. And I think it's when they've taken their eye off the ball or mm-hmm. decided to step so far outside of their lane or lose the core that then it's like, rein it back in.
Okay, and so I'm sure people are dying to hear one.
An example. Well, I mean, there's like little ones, but then there's bigger ones. I mean, so the gambling on cruise ships that you brought up is right. A perfect example. And that's being, you know, looked at again. And so, you know, every time that that's revisited, I think, you know, you have to think about that question again. It, you know, is this an extension of who we are? Does it make sense? Does it work within the story we're telling? Mm-hmm. Another one that comes to mind that I think you would probably even remember, and remember when we talked about Club Disney, mm-hmm. and it was going to be a place where people kept saying, you know, we can't always go to the theme parks, and we go every few years, or it's a one-time vacation for our family. But wouldn't it be great if there were little mini areas near us? So they mm-hmm. came up with a concept that was, you know, let's do these little areas. And Disney Quest is another example of that. There's still a Disney Quest at the downtown Disney area that I think is still there, but and they were going to be these mini kind of interactive areas, but the scale was such people showed up and they wanted Disneyland in their local mall, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened was it was almost similar to a babysitting service. You know, they thought they were going to drop off their kids. The parents were then going to go do something else, and Mary Poppins was going to be there. They were going to pick up their child.
Right.
They'd be a completely different child. They would have had the most fabulous experience, you know, in their life. Well, so it just ended up not working. And that was something, again, should Disney try it? Absolutely. But when it doesn't work, you know, be willing to kind of turn the other way. I think we're seeing a lot of it now too, Mary. I mean, I don't want to get off on a whole tangent. But when we talk about, okay, the next 100 years or what will change, I mean, I think as the company, you know, we're looking at streaming services and what should be cable and what should be, and a lot of this is less about the core and the content, and it's a little more about the delivery. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we mix up the two. You know, we get mm-hmm. excited about a new way to deliver stories or deliver Disney, and we then change the core a little bit to match the delivery,
right?
If that makes sense.
Right.
So I think we have to be mindful of that too. So mm-hmm.
yeah.
I don't know your thoughts of the next 100 years, but I think the company will look very different. I mean, I think at some point, you know, certain parts of the company, you know, even especially pieces of the company we've acquired, like ESPN, and, you know, as we acquired ABC, and, you know, will some of that split off again, or will streaming, how will that look? And, you know, all those kinds of discussions.
Well, it's probably, you know, moving forward, similar to the past, there will be some successes, there will be some failures. But let's kind of end with each of our own favorite quotes. And because I think for me, it goes back to connections. And so for the last 20 plus years, I've been doing a lot of customer service consulting because people are always very interested in the Disney way. So the one quote that I use all the time is, you can design, create, and build the most wonderful place in the world, but it takes people to make the dream a reality. And I think this gets back to your connections, memory, and the core of who Disney is. And I'm hoping for the next 100 years that they definitely remember that core. There'll probably be some bumps in the road, just like there has been in the past, but I hope they continue to keep the core. So what's your favorite quote?
Okay, I'm going to end with that one too, because, and you wonder why I don't want to give you another one, because that was the one I was thinking of, and I don't want to change it, because this very podcast is because we met at Disney, and when I think of my, what I cherish from my, you know, 30 plus years at Disney, it's the people.
Yeah,
you know, it's the relationships, yeah. It's the people I met, the guests I interacted with, the cast members like you that are, you know, treasured friends, family, you know, all my siblings ended up working at various times at Disney. And so it really is about the people. So I'm just going to say it again. You can dream, create, and design the most wonderful place in the world, but it takes people to make the dream a reality. And I think that's what Walt started with, bringing together different people, you know, talented, quality, and then just let them dream and create and design and go crazy. And that has lasted 100 years.
Yep. So let's celebrate. Have a birthday party. Happy, happy birthday to the Disney Company. And when you're celebrating, be sure and grab some trail mix for the party. And don't forget the chocolate
or the popcorn. You can find all of our Trail Mix episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. We would love you to rate and give us a review.
And follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Look for Trail Mix Pod with a picture of Trail Mix. To learn more about us, check out our new website, trailmixpod.com.
It was great to have you. Thanks for listening to Trail Mix, sorting through life's fruits, sweets, and nuts. Keep mixing it up. And remember, life is nuts. So don't forget the chocolate
or the popcorn.